You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But yeah, we'll move on to the environmental report for 2022. The triennial report on the state of the environment in Aotearoa has changed the framework for how it reports its findings, drawing more on Mā Tauranga Māori and exploring the link between the environment and our well-being. I started off by speaking to Professor Amanda Black, the Director of Bioprotection Aotearoa, as well as a Rutherford Discovery Fellow on the matter. This year's Environment Aotearoa 2022 report had just come out, I think it was last week, right before the Easter break. So could you just break down any surprising findings or any interesting findings that you found from this year's report?
Sure. Look, in terms of the state of the environment, there's nothing surprising in there. And the report highlights the continuing gaps and, fragmented data sets and the indicators not changing. So there's nothing new in there as far as the quantitative environmental data is concerned. What is new, though, is that they've switched the narrative around. So instead of your standard reporting, that they used to do every 3 years, which was very clinical, I suppose, they've tried to wrap it, they have wrapped it around a Te Ao Māori narrative around Matariki, and so they've used each of the stars as themes for each of the environmental reporting, and so that's really, really different, and it is Ministry for the Environment's attempt to be a good treaty partner, but also I think they're really trying to engage with the wider public. I'm not a different audience, I suppose, than they previously did before, and because most of these reports that the ministry put out go largely ignored, and they never said a lot of day, they just gather dust on the shelves. So I think this was an attempt to give it a real Aotearoa New Zealand flavour, hopefully engage with a wider audience and draw people's attention to the connection for Indigenous narrative like Māori, Te Ao Māori values, Mātauranga Māori, and our well-being with the environment. So that's the difference.
Now, do you think this different in reporting framework, with Mātauranga Māori, do you think it will prove effective and possibly improve or see more improvements in our environment?
I don't know. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding if they do engage with a wider audience, an audience that is more prepared to step up and speak up about issues in the environment and engage with the ministry and everyone else who's involved with managing our environment, all of the various end users and stakeholders, to do something about it instead of just, it's getting worse. Every time we put out a report, it's getting worse. The report never gets read and it just gets largely ignored. So it will be a long-term road, I think, to engagement and people doing something about it. But this is an interesting step. I think it possibly could have used a segue into this rather than all the reporting for the years have been very clinical and then this might confuse and it might alienate some people, but I mean I'm totally supportive of doing something like this, but they've put it out there, they've put their stake in the ground, this is what we're going to do, now they have to back it up and all the gaps that they've acknowledged that they have they need to start filling in somehow. So it's the implementation of this Te Ao Māori narrative, this framework that they're going to have to do, and then we'll see hopefully some real changes.
Do you think maybe a more holistic Māori worldview should have been implemented a while ago, and like you said, maybe segued in gradually as opposed to just something thrown in straight after going through COVID?
Potentially. I mean, we're seeing, it's a great time to be Māori at the moment. I am Māori, and it's very exciting. And the research I do is always through Te Ao Māori values, but you do have to take people on that journey. So you don't want to exclude people. You want to include people, and to do that, you've got to take them on this journey in a stepwise fashion. Yeah, I think maybe that would have helped to have it along a few iterations ago to introduce these components one by one, and so that when you see something like this, it's not so stark. But that's just my opinion, and that's from me running research programs where I've gradually introduced the narratives around Te Ao Māori, and so people don't feel alienated and they're all on board. It takes a lot for these conversations to get out there.
Do you think that Te Ao Māori's, do you think it adds a bit of strength and maybe even a better understanding of the environment, and maybe even that approach itself could be a way at better preserving and understanding our environment?
I think so. It gives it that uniquely Aotearoa New Zealand flavour. And to be more holistic around how we view the environment, so we're part of it. I mean, it's attached to our well-being. And I think this is a good way. It's probably the best way to do it. So it draws our attention to, instead of just saying, oh, water quality is this, soil quality is this, all the other metrics that they've used to measure the decline of the environment and environmental qualities. So we still feel detached from that. We think, oh, okay, so that's declining, but we still go on about our daily lives. And so this is a way to draw in a holistic way, so write a narrative so that our well-being is directly related to the state of the environment. And this is a really good way of doing it, which I think this is the real positive thing about this narrative, that we're all part of the environment, we're not separate from it, and so we should care, we should work towards doing something to improve the quality, and that includes changing the way we do things.
Yeah, and I guess it does bring in that importance of Māori and their connection with their indigenous land as well as educating those on that importance as well, would you say?
Yeah, it does. I mean, now that Māori feel like they've been heard after centuries of not being heard, so they can see their narrative in there, and that will connect the ministry with a completely different audience, which is a good thing. And I hope most of New Zealanders will get on board with that as well, to realise that we're unique. These are our unique stories. You can be part of this, and then they can understand that they're part of the environment and do something about it.
I then spoke to Dr. Dan Hikaroa, the senior lecturer at Te Wānanga o Waipapa, Waipapa Taumātou, the School of Māori Studies and Pacific Studies at the University of Auckland, who helped craft this report. I started off by asking him how the report helps view people as part of the environment.
Yeah, viewing people as part of the environment is very much an Indigenous worldview, and of course in New Zealand that's a Māori view of the world, and that traditionally Māori saw themselves as part of the environment, not separate from the environment. And I dare say that most Indigenous cultures, indeed probably all societies, did until we kind of came to the Enlightenment, where we had that, we had that split away, the nature-culture split, that Cartesian dualism between nature and culture. And so at that point, and maybe before that, I think many people saw themselves as being part of the environment, but that way of thinking has become quite dominant. And so what we wanted to do for the report was to say, hey, well, there's different ways of knowing and being and doing in this world, and maybe in 2022, in a place like Aotearoa, New Zealand, where we're trying to draw from all the different ways of knowing and being and doing to try and find solutions to the challenges we face, we thought, hey, let's try from an Indigenous worldview.
Could you maybe go into how the report is structured around Te Kahui or Matariki as well?
Yeah, so in previous environment reports, and of course these come out every 3 years, and it's been structured around the different kind of domains, soil, water, air, those kind of things, the things we're really accustomed to seeing. And when the decision was made to maybe, hey, let's maybe frame this one up a bit differently, a suggestion came forward that, well, maybe we should base it around Te Kahui or Matariki. And the reason being there is, of course, Matariki is a mechanism that Māori used, and I recognise that not all Māori use Matariki, but the same concept for marking the new year. And so that cluster of stars, the nine stars, they disappear in the May skies and then reappear again sometime late June or July, and they signify that a year has passed, that the shortest day has passed, and so we can recalibrate in order for us to do things. And the recalibration aligns with the Maramataka, the Māori lunar calendar. And it's been described to me, the Maramataka, as a stellar lunar ecological calendar, meaning each month, each lunar month is aligned with a star or a group of stars. And each month, of course, has the nights of the moon as they come through. We're just past the full moon, Rākau Nui, and we're just coming down to a waning moon now. And with each of those days that correspond with a night of that Maramataka, there's a suggestion of activities. And overall, those activities remain broadly, in broad speak, you know, these days a bit of a fishing, these days a bit of a planting for every month. But in every, across all the months. But for each specific season within those, there might be different types and different activities. So at the moment, you know, some people have got their kumara crops are still down. Others have already harvested theirs. And so the key thing there is that the nine stars of Matariki align with all those different domains. They align with the rains. They align with the winds, the weather. They align with food that we find above the ground. They align with food we find in the ground. They align with the oceans and all those things. And so when we were looking for a different framing, you know, Te Kahui or Matariki was suggested, and it was a natural fit. And one of the key things I think that makes it a really good fit is that the Kahui or Matariki and the stars within that, they are based on a framing that comes from the environment. So they're not a framework that we're looking to oppose onto the environment. They are a framework, according to Māori, that comes from the environment itself and responds to those different changes that we see in different environments through time.
This report would bring a great amount of education to people on the indigenous way of preserving the environment, but also on Matariki, which I feel like not a lot of people may know too much about.
Absolutely, Joe. So it shows people that Matariki isn't just a new holiday, as it were. And I know not everyone's completely happy with that, but I think the majority of New Zealanders are pretty welcoming of that. And it shows it's not just marking the new year. It marks the new year, but it's part of a system of knowledge. It's a part of a system of that Maramataka, that's those observations of those fluctuations of seasonality, of when, you know, when little elvers, little baby eels, make their way in from the ocean and make their way up rivers. And then on the converse, when the tunahike, the migrating adult eels who are making their way up to somewhere offshore near Tonga to go and mate it and complete the cycle. It's delving into those layers of observations made through time of the environment and picking up on those subtle changes and differences and be able to adjust to those things. And so people will see that Matariki is more than just stars disappearing in May and rising again, you know, sometime in June or July.
Dan also says that although the report is aimed at a Māori way of viewing things, the sense of interconnection is not unique to Māori. Many New Zealanders feel this way, and he felt that the report could engage with many New Zealanders and not just Māori.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.